There is nothing that is going to happen in the future that God is going to be surprised about. There's times when I'm surprised about what happens. There's times when you're going to be surprised about what happened. But God is never going to be surprised about the future. Have you noticed lately that we live in a world full of fear? I mean, it seems like everywhere you go, people are fearful. If you want to know how fearful people are, go into a crowded room and start coughing. I made the mistake of coughing in an airport. Security guards came around me and said, "Was that a cough or was that a sneeze?" And I said, "It was a sneeze, I promise." I was on the plane flying back from Houston. Had a wonderful wedding in Houston with Matt and Adeline. Had a great time with them. I was flying back, and I don't know what it is, but it seems like every time I fly from Texas to Florida, there is a rough flight. I don't know. Maybe there's some competition going on there. But we're flying along, and have you ever had one of those times when you're flying along and the plane just drops down and you feel like your seat's coming up, but you're tied down, so only thing that happens is your stomach comes up here? We had that happening on the way, and we were on the way, and I of course was talking to the people sitting next to me, and that happened, and everybody kind of got unsettled, and the lady next to me looked at me and said, "You're a preacher, do something." So I took up a collection. Not really. Not really. I just told her it would be all right. But there's a lot of fear going on in the world today. And that's what, over the next several weeks, I want to do a series on freedom from fear. Now, there are some things you need to be afraid of. I mean, there's things in this life you've got to be afraid of. I have fears of certain things. You have fears. I have a friend that has a fear of clowns. And you know what I do to him. Every time I find a clown, I send it to him. And I had my best buddy, Randy Adams, he was claustrophobic. He could not stand tight spaces. And whenever we would get in an elevator, I wouldn't push the button. I would just sit there and wait for him to start sweating and looking and figure out what was going on. But there are some fears that are realistic. There are some are not. I'd like to say I'm not scared of snakes, but I don't like snakes. I guess you could say I'm scared of them. There are other things. You know, some people are fearful of flying. Some people are fearful of darkness. Some people are fearful of Barney the dinosaur. I don't know. But I want to talk to you about living with freedom from fear. And the passage that was given to you earlier today is the theme for the whole time. And it's, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears." And today I want to talk to you about freedom from fear of the future. None of us really know what's going to happen in the future. I was sitting in Bible class today, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit in Bible class, and I was just sitting there thinking, I don't have my dad to call and run things by it anymore. And the future is going to be different for me, and the future is going to be different for some of us. As a matter of fact, I would imagine in a crowd this size, we're going to have some other people get cancer. We're going to have some other people that are going to experience loss. We're going to have people who are going to have a loss of a job. But no matter what the future is, as Ralph Abernathy says, "I may not know the future, but I know who holds the future." Three facts about my future. Number one, I know God knows everything that is going to happen. I know that God knows that everything that's going to happen. I don't have to worry for 1 minute what's going to happen in the future because God already knows. He already has seen the future. I want you to look at this verse, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. I want you to underline the words nothing, because there is nothing that is going to happen in the future that God is going to be surprised about. There's times when I'm surprised about what happens. There's times when you're going to be surprised about what happened. But God is never going to be surprised about the future. He already knows. You see, we see time this way. We have the beginning of time, and then we have the end of time. That's the way we see it. We have our birth, and then we have our death. But God sees all of it before it ever happens, and He's not surprised by it. Look at what the psalmist says in 139 in the latter part of verse 16. The days allotted me have all been recorded in your book, and I want you to underline this word or circle it, before any of them ever began. God already knows where I'm going to be when I die. God already knows what the future holds for me. I don't know it, but I have a God who already knows it. The second thing I want you to learn today is I want you to know that God has a plan for my future. God already has a plan for my future. I've been spending quite a bit of time thinking about my future. I turned 63, and do you know how close that is to 65? And do you know how close that is to 75? I don't even want to think past that. But that is not that long away. We're only 12 years away, and I'm going to be as old as John Shackelford. And that's old. My point being is I'm wanting to see down the road. I'm wanting to figure it out. But every time I think I've got something figured out, guess what? God changes things. One of my favorite lines is, man plans and God laughs. And the reason why I like that is because my life, when I was 21, I was married to Nancy and I was going to finish my degree and I was going to have a degree in finance and I was going to be a CFO of a Fortune 500 company and we were going to drive Mercedes and have yachts and all of these things that we had all planned out. And guess what? God had a better plan. And I want you to know this, God has a plan for you. Jeremiah says in verse 29 and 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Underline these words, plans, prosper, hope, and future. And I want you to underline those words. This is the Pomerankey's favorite life verse, or Hemp Hill's and Pomerankey's favorite life verse, and I think it's such a good one because I want you to see in there God has a plan for your life. And I think sometimes we don't think about the fact that God has a plan for our life. Now that I am where I am in my life, I can see that God had that plan for me my entire life, and I nearly missed it. I nearly missed it. You see, when I was a young kid, my dad put me in front of the congregation to speak. And my first lesson that I can remember, one of the lessons that I can remember, was a little ditty about Jack and Diane. And I did a lesson on that. And I had people come to me and say, Neil, you should consider preaching. And I laughed. I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard. Got married, and Nancy and I moved to Jacksonville, Florida, and there was a preacher there that said, Neil, you should preach. And I laughed. He went as far as to say, I've worked it out with the elders. I can teach you what you need to know. You can be the associate minister. We will pay you while we train you. I got out of Jacksonville so fast. God's plan almost was lost in my life until I moved to Tampa, and the church there said, we want you to be a part-time associate minister. And I thought to myself, well, part-time isn't really doing it, so I can do that. And then I got a call from Jacksonville Beach asking me if I would move into full-time ministry, and I laughed. The reason why I'm telling you that is because you can miss God's plan for your life. You can rebel against God's plan. You can decide you want to do your own plan, but God has a plan for your life. And His plan for you is to give you hope. It's not to harm you. It's to give you a future. But you need to know about the future is that God has a plan for you. Number three, God is with me today and always. God is with me today and always. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, and I underline these words, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do for me? You have no reason to fear, because no matter what is going on in your life, God is always with you. I'm going to tell you, there's been times in my life that I haven't felt God's presence, but He has always been there. There's been times in my life where I felt really alone. There's been times in my life I've been really confused about what's going on around me, but God's presence has never left me. Because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And in the Greek language, that is the most demonstrative never that you have ever heard. It's basically saying, never ever will I leave you, never ever will I forsake you. And you need to remember that no matter what you're going through in this life, God is still with you. God's got a guarantee for your future. It says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. And in Psalms chapter 145 and verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generation. The Lord is trustworthy in all of His promises. Underline in all of His promises, and He is faithful in all that He does. There are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. 7,000 checks waiting to be written if we will just get into the Word and hang on to those promises. And when you are fearful or something, no matter what it is you're fearful of, there is an attribute of God that covers that fear. So with His attributes, who God is in heaven and on earth, all of our fears should be taken away, because God is who God is. And then, on top of all that, He gives us His promises. I want you to look at the reasons why we can know. There's 7,000 promises, but I've got five that I'm going to go over. I started to do all 7,000 today, but for some reason I don't think you would sit through it. I can't get you guys to sit through 20 minutes. I know I'm not going to get you to sit through 7,000. But here's the thing I want you to look at. I can depend on God to guide me when I'm confused. I can depend on God to guide me when I'm confused. It is so funny to me. I messed up one day. I don't know what happened, but I must have clicked the wrong button. But somehow, you know how your computer tries to figure out what you're thinking? And I was on my homepage for MSN or Microsoft, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, and I actually clicked on something that had to do with someone who's having problems and they needed advice. You know what I'm talking about? The last one I saw, because they continue to come up after that, last one I saw was, "My mom wants to charge me rent. Is she wrong?" And I'm like, you're 30 years old. You should be paying rent. I mean, there's a lot of things in there that, you know, advice comes, and I think to myself, why are these people going to the internet to get advice? But then I got to thinking, you know, long before the internet, there was Cosmopolitan. There was psychic readers. Y'all remember that? You got to call the 900 number and get your psychic read, get your psychic reading, and your life was going to be good. And then there's the people that come to me and said, "Neil, I've been talking to my friends and about my marriage, and they've given me this advice." And I'm like, "Well, are your friends married?" "Well, they're divorced now." And I said, "Well, that's not a really good person to talk to, is it?" You don't talk to divorced people about staying married, because they didn't do it. I can depend on God to guide me when I'm confused. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember, the Lord is in everything you do, and He will show you the right way. Well, how do we do that? Well, it's pretty simple. As we pray to God, we read His Word, we listen to God, and I think the hardest thing for us to do in today's society is to sit still and contemplate what God is saying to us. I remember when I was a young man and I got my first apartment, I grew up in a household of four children. I was the second of four. And then my mom and dad, and because my dad and mom were a preacher, we generally had somebody living with us all the time. Some of the people I loved living with us, when they had that 17-year-old girl move in, I thought I was in heaven. I was 14 or 15 at the time. So we had a lot of people moving in and out, and I got my first apartment, and I was with another guy, and he worked night shift, and I worked day shift, so I never saw him. And I am 18 years old, living across the street from an all-female girls' school. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven. But the first 2 weeks were the most miserable weeks of my life because of the fact that it was so quiet. And for the first time in my life, I didn't have all the noise going on around me. And so the first thing I did is saved up my money for my second check and bought a stereo so I wouldn't have to deal with the quiet. And I think for some of us today, when we want to hear God's voice, we don't hear it because we don't take time to be quiet. As a matter of fact, they have this thing on the radio, it's called dead air. They don't want you to go too long without hearing something. And I think for a lot of us in this world today, we're scared of dead air because we're scared of being alone with our thoughts. But when I am confused, I can depend on God to answer me. Number two, I can depend on God to assist me when I am tempted. I can depend on God to assist me when I am tempted. A lot of times in this world, we're going to be tempted. And I'm going to tell you this. When it happens, I'm going to let you know at what age you quit being tempted. I was working in a youth camp, Central Florida Bible Camp, as a matter of fact, with a friend of mine. He was 10 years between us. I was in my 30s. And he was in his 20s, and we're working, and he said, "Neil, I really want to ask you a question." And he said to me, "Neil, when is it that I'm going to quit being tempted?" And I said, "Well, I'll let you know when I get there." You know, some of us in this room are fighting things that have been a big temptation for us for a long time. And let me explain this to you. It's not going to stop. I was talking to a friend of mine that I grew up with. He grew up across the street. He got hooked on crack cocaine, and he was a mess. He stopped by Nancy and I's house one time when we lived in Savannah, and he had just coming off a binge, and I have never smelt anybody that smelt so bad in all my life. Well, thankfully, he got over it. He moved to Texas, and in Texas, he started this very successful business doing electrical work, and he has several people working for him. And I was hearing from my mom. I said, well, how's he doing? And it's been 10, 15 years since all of this taken place. And she says, he's doing good. But you know what? He goes to a meeting every single day after 15 years because he's still tempted. And no matter who you are, you're going to be tempted. But God has given us this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. But remember this. Wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new or different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you, and no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up to it, for he has promised this and will do whatever he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. You will be tempted in this life, but it doesn't mean you have to sin. It doesn't mean that you have to succumb. You don't have to let Satan control what is going on in your life. It is a choice you make because God will give you a way out. Number three, I can depend on God to support me when I'm overwhelmed. I can depend on God to support me when I'm overwhelmed. This last couple of days, I've been overwhelmed. My family, there's two brothers, a sister, my two brothers, they both have four kids each. And then on top of that, there's great-grandkids. There's all kinds of people that we're trying to arrange this. And my mom assured me that everything was going to be done on June the 10th. I could make my reservations. I made all my reservations, got everything put in place, got the car rented, the room set, the plane ticket set, and she calls me yesterday morning and says, Neil, we've changed things to the 3rd. Is that okay with you? I'm going to tell you, I was so overwhelmed that normally I do these kinds of things on the computer, and I couldn't even look at the computer. I had to call somebody to walk me through it. But when you're overwhelmed with what's going on in your life, God is with you. You realize God has given us 365 verses that say, fear not. 365. That is one for every day of the week. Every morning, if you're waking up in fear, all you have to do is turn to the scriptures and it says, fear not. Here's one of them from Isaiah. It says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God. And I want to tell you something right here that I am learning. God gives you the strength you need for today. He doesn't give you the strength you need for tomorrow. He gives you the strength you need for today. The very first funeral that I ever did was for a lady that lost her husband to cancer. And She was a very devout lady, but it was very difficult on her. And I went to see her a couple of days after the funeral to see how she was doing. And as I was sitting with her, she was telling me how difficult the grieving process was for her. She says it was the hardest thing that she's ever been through. And she says, "Neil, all I can do is get through 15 minutes at a time." But she knew that God would give her what she needed for those next 15 minutes. And sometimes in this life, when we're overwhelmed with things, we need to realize that God will give us the strength we need for that moment. Number four, very last page. I can depend on God to defend me when I am offended. Anybody been offended lately? I got to tell you, we live in a world of people looking for reasons to be offended, don't they? I have to figure out half the time whether I'm going to say something offensive or I am going to be politically correct. I've got to stand in one space evidently with this speaker or this microphone. But I know that there are a lot of people that are out there today that are being offended by a message, being offended by something. I'm not politically correct. I realize that. I realized it big time. I was out visiting my son and visiting a church up there. And one of the things they do on Monday, because it's a large church, they have four services, around 1,500 people in each service. And then they have two other campuses that have two services each, and all the preachers come together on Monday, and they call it Sermon Club because they're all going to preach the same message, and the message is given to them the week before, and Monday morning they come together and they discuss the points that need to be made, and they have a woman in the room with them, and her whole job is to make sure these guys don't say anything offensive. And I thought, man, I wouldn't last 15 minutes with these people. I live to offend. But here's what I want you to know. If somebody is offensive to you, it says, "Dear friends, never avenge yourself. Leave that to God, for He has said that He will repay those who deserve it." And I want you to underline those that deserve it, because sometimes you deserve it, sometimes they deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands. If something is offensive to you, don't take revenge. Let God handle it. Number five, I could depend on God to reward me when I am faithful to Him. I can depend on God to reward me when I am faithful to Him. One of the greatest things that I have going for me right now is I know that my Father has made the finish line. Jan Blackwell came up to me, as only Jan can. If you don't know Jan, you need to get to know him, because he's a one-of-a-kind personality. And I say that with a lot of love, Jan. Jan came up to me, and he says, "Do you think they're letting him preach today?" And I've been thinking about that, Jan, and I think he's preaching whether they want him to or not. That's what he did around me. But my point is this. No matter what you're going through in this life, no matter what the future holds, if you will depend on God and be faithful to Him, He will reward that. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people. Continue to help them. I don't think that I put this verse in here knowing that my dad would pass this week. But with his passing, I got to think about other people that have passed that I love dearly. I got to think about Bobby Groves. Bobby Groves and Jim Starks and Ronnie Jackson, the three men that hired me. So if you don't like me, you can blame them. I got to thinking about Randy Adams. And I got to think about Glenn Presser. And there are many others that have passed, but those are the three that came to my mind yesterday. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I remember that Glenn Presser's favorite verse was Philippians 4:13. And if you're concerned about the future, you're concerned about what's going on in your life, I would give you this as your verse to hang on to. It says, and this is the Amplified Version, so it's a little different. I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. And I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confidence and peace. Write these words down at the bottom of your page. Faith works. Faith works. You see, we can live this life in fear, or we can live this life by faith. And by living this life in fear, we miss on God's promises, we miss out on God's joy, we miss out on the best life you could possibly live, because we miss out on God's plan for our life. But if you live by faith, you can accomplish all things. No matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what it is you're dealing with, because God will give you the strength you need to get through what you're going through. There's a lot of visitors here today. I haven't met you all, but I'm so thankful for you being here. And if you're looking for a church home, I would invite you to consider this place. We have a lot of good things going on, but I'm going to tell you the real reason why you need to be a part of this church family. It's because this is the most loving, joyful place that you can be. And it's not because of the preacher, and it's not because of the elders, it's because of the people. Each week we sing an invitation song. That invitation song, I remember as a kid, I was like, oh boy, it's over. And I was hoping sometimes that whoever's leading the last song wouldn't lead just as I am. It has seven verses, doesn't it? It's five verses. Seems like 20. Oh, they sing all of them three times, so it's 15. But I hated that song for an invitation song because it was so long. So sometimes when I'm doing the invitation, I think, well, what are people thinking? What? I mean, are they thinking it's over? It's about time? And I don't know what you're thinking. All I know is what I'm thinking. My heart is for all of us to be in God's glory one day. And my heart is for you. And I know some of you are struggling with so many things. It may be that you're struggling in your marriage. It may be you're struggling with your job. It may be struggling with your kids. I don't know what it is, but I would ask you today as we sing this invitation song that you'll put your trust in God, that you'll live by faith and not fear. lesson is yours as we stand and sing.